Governor Herbert. Text 57500 or call him at 801-575-8255. It's Let Me Speak to the Governor.
Boy, we've got a ton of texts and we've got a lot of people waiting on the line, and let's get right to those phone calls. But we had a very, very important text come in just a moment, Governor, a moment ago. This is something we probably need to address right off the bat.
Okay.
Governor Herbert, who is going to walk away with the W tonight between Utah or Weber State? You can handle that one.
Oh, yes.
I am Utah's Mr. Sports, but I'm dumping this on you.
I'll tell you, Doug, I've got a good answer for this one. You know, some of my friends are for Weber State and the Wildcats. Some of my friends are for the University of Utah and the Utes. And I can tell you, this governor is squarely in the corner of his friends. And so whoever wins tonight's game will have a big win. And so we encourage both of them to go out and play hard, play fair, and good luck.
That's going to be in the sound bites coming up in the news, I'm sure. The governor makes the official prediction. Let's go to Tremont in Utah, and Janet is on the line. And Janet's question is going to reflect a lot of questions that I'm seeing on our text message board. Janet, go ahead with the governor.
Thank you, Governor, for taking my call.
You bet.
My question is, we're hitting opioid addiction so hard and the prescription so hard to the point of people who take opioids for chronic pain are feeling guilty. And we've got a proposition about marijuana. We're sending two messages here.
Well, that's probably part of the issue. Is it's a little complex and it's a little hard to get our hands around it, particularly with, I think, a lot of misinformation that's out there. What I think we all agree to is, one, if you have pain and suffering, we'd like to find medical relief. And that typically is done by doing scientific research, finding out what proposed medicines will do, have the clinical studies, have it FDA approved, and then allow a doctor to take a look at your unique situation and make a prescription. They'll prescribe whatever they need to help with your ailment. That's then controlled and distributed by a pharmacist who will give the right dosage. We protect the quality and the amounts, and we don't just have self-medication, but for these kinds of things. The opioid thing was, at least the allegations being made are, that those who created opioids did not say, oh, by the way, this can become very addictive. And so the opioid crisis, which has been going on for 3 or 4 years and really has been top of mind for the National Governors Association, has been a big issue. And we're seeing some benefits for that heightened awareness and taking some corrective actions on opioids. That being said, for the medical use of marijuana, I wish we had started on this discussion, I mean, it should have been done, you know, years ago. I mean, Congress has been fiddling around on this thing and the administration by having it on the Schedule I list, which means you really don't have the ability to do the research and do the testing that's necessary to find out what, based on science, are the medical benefits of marijuana. They have two different particles of marijuana plant, the CBD oil, which people think helps with seizures, THC, which just has recently been approved, by the way. You can actually get a prescription now from your doctor on THC, which is the hallucinogenic. They believe actually has some benefits to helping people with chemotherapy on cancer. But we have extremes out there where people say there's nothing good that can come from the marijuana plant for a medicinal purpose. And we have the others say it will cure cancer. And if you take marijuana, it will shrink, tumors. I think both extremes of that are wrong, by the way. Most everybody agrees we ought to have access to medical marijuana for medicinal purposes that will relieve pain and suffering. My opposition to Proposition 2, which is kind of the bottom line question, is because although I think we ought to have access to marijuana as a medicine, there's probably a right way to do it and a wrong way. The Congress has not done what they needed to be doing, so we've got to find a bridge. But the initiative itself has a lot of unintended consequences, a lack of control, and maybe the ability to have proliferation in ways that we would not want. I know nobody's arguing for recreational marijuana, but that might be part of the unintended consequence. So I'm going to vote no on Proposition 2, because I think it has a lot of problems. Even the proponents, by the way, admit and agree that there are, in fact, needs for improvement in the initiative. And initiative is not really a good way to make laws. You don't have the ability to amend or modify it or improve. You take the initiative, warts and all. So if it doesn't pass, then what has to happen? We need to come with the legislature and create a better piece of law. I'm committed to doing that. I think most in the legislature and most outside the legislature say we need to have an ability to have access to medical marijuana. But let's have the safeguards in place for public safety, public health, public finance. And those things can happen in a new bill. If it does pass, then we need to come back with the legislature and improve it to take out some of the problems that are legitimately recognized there and improve the bill itself. And I think we can bring stakeholders together. I think we can end in a good place and get a piece of legislation that we as Utahns feel good about in the proverbial win-win. So that's where we're at, and I think that's the direction we'll take, and I think we'll end up getting a good result.
Governor, maybe just a quick follow-up, because it was a week ago today, if I remember correctly, that a gathering of real heavy hitters in our community, from every aspect of the community, from medical, from law enforcement, from the religious point of view, a lot of folks were there at that press conference where they came out not necessarily against medicinal marijuana. As a matter of fact, many of them clarified that they are very much for looking into it and the possibilities of medicinal marijuana, but encourage people, as and you just indicated you would vote against it as well, encouraged people to vote against this particular proposition or mm-hmm. initiative. What kind of sway? Because it included, as I mentioned, religious leaders, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, through Elder Gerard, was there and made their feelings clear. Is it too little, too late? 77% of Utahns say they are strongly for or leaning toward this initiative.
Well, I don't know whether it's too little, too late. I guess time will tell. We'll see what influence the coalition, of which the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is just one part. There's other religious organizations or other entities out there. I don't believe this is a religious issue. I believe this is about good policy. This is about health care. This is about what can we do to help people that have pain and suffering, and is marijuana and its derivatives, is there an ability for us to use that to help? The state of Utah believes so. We've passed, in fact, a law allowing marijuana to be used in certain circumstances. We've passed a law for CDB oil for seizures. My sister has a daughter that has a need for that and is using that. Hasn't had a lot of success, but she's tried it, and a lot of people are trying to see with hope, is there some medicine out there that will give us relief? That's why I say we ought to have the science. We ought not to have anecdotal stories, and we ought to really know what the science bears. And so we ought to do the research. We're trying to do some of that, by the way, at the University of Utah right now. So this is not about religion. This is about policy. This is about health care. I think a desire to have a new medicine available, and we do have approval now for CDB oil. And just 2 weeks ago, this is breaking news. I haven't seen a lot of coverage on it, but the FDA has approved a THC, that's the hallucinogenic aspect of marijuana, to help with people that have chemotherapy and treatment for cancer. Helps them with some of the pain, helps them with some of the maybe getting their digestive system working again so they can eat better. So there is some work. It's small steps. It's stuff we should have been doing 10, 12 years ago or more. But I think we're moving in a direction that we can bring everybody together. I think the end result of this, either way, is going to be positive for the state of Utah. I just wish the federal government would get off their hindquarters and actually do what they're supposed to be doing and help lead the way on getting scientific understanding and FDA approval on a substance that really has maybe potential for good, but eliminate the potential for harm at the same time.
Let's go to Kent, who is waiting on the line to speak with you. Governor, Kent is in South Jordan. Hi, Kent.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Kent. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. As a state employee, I've seen over the past 10, 12 years that our pay increase each year has gone mostly towards health care, which, as you know, has gone is less and less in coverage, and drugs go up to tier 3 and things of that nature. And then the pay portion of the benefit is still been around 2%. I wondered if state employees will be able to share in the success that the state has had over the last year or two in
Well, it's a good question, Kent, and I certainly hope so. You certainly deserve to share in the success of our state, and particularly the success, not just only the economic growth, which we're having now and we're prospering well, but because of the fact we have efficiency in state government. That's really where I think your argument is, hey, the best employees in America in the state governments are here in Utah. We actually have fewer state employees today in spite of tremendous growth of our population. You'd have to go back to the year 2001. You are, and technology's helped us to do that. You're very productive. You're good workers. So we've tried to cover the cost of living and give an additional bump up in salary increases, whether it be 2 or 3. We've given some discretion to division heads and department heads as far as how they'll apportion that to worthy recipients of a pay increase. But there's no question in my mind you deserve to have some increase in salaries. And we are actually going out and doing market surveys to make sure that we're paying at the market level, comparable to the private sector, not necessarily the highest, but certainly not the lowest, and finding that kind of mid-level, medium there with some of the perks that come from working with government. We have a better package when it comes to benefits than, say, the private sector. We're more rich there. We sometimes are a little bit lower on the hourly salaries, but we are our benefit package is more robust. So taking all total compensation into place, we want to make sure that we're paying all of our employees what I'd call fairly. And so our intent would be, you see the budget coming out here in this fall, as we propose it, we'll have a cost of living adjustment as well as a salary increase, I believe.
Kent, we appreciate your phone call. Let's do take just a brief break here. We'll come back. We have several phone lines available. Boy, Governor, the medicinal marijuana thing is the hot topic today, but I think we've devoted quite a bit of time to that. So I would encourage those who perhaps have another question for the governor to get on the phone line. I have several texts that are very interesting here, but boy, this is the hot topic today.
It is. And let me just, before you go to break here, just say that I appreciate the fact that people are involved and there's legitimate arguments on both sides of this issue. To say you are wrong and you have nothing to say or to contribute on either side is wrong. We need to say, you know what, there's benefits, it appears, there's a right way to do this, and there's maybe some legitimate concerns about the initiative. Like I say, even the proponents have said, yeah, this is not perfect and it needs to be modified. So let's come together. Let's find out where that legislation should be. I'm going to vote against it, but I certainly plan on coming back and fixing if the initiative passes so we have land at a place that everybody can feel good about, and that's for medicinal use of marijuana. And not opening doors for recreational marijuana, but for medicinal use. That's what everybody says they want. So let's get involved. I hope that people out there listening would talk to their legislators and say, you know what, I want medicinal marijuana. I want it done right. So if there are problems out there with this initiative or if we have to start over, let's make sure we do it right. And
okay.
I think our legislators will respond to that.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. KSL Talk is our number on Let Me Speak to the Governor.
What's your question for Governor Herbert? Call 801-575-8255. This is Let Me Speak to the Governor.
Several hot issues still remain, obviously, out there. We'd love to take your phone calls, and I'm going to share some of the texts that have come in as well. This texter just a few moments ago, Governor, said, could you give everybody an update on how your talks with schools and finding ways to keep our kids in the schools safe, especially from school shootings, how that has gone?
Well, we've had a lot of productive talks with our school administrators, our principals, our superintendents, our school boards. Clearly, it's an issue that we all have concern about. And, you know, the worry is that something untoward can happen and we'd have one of the same kind of things we've seen in Florida or Texas happen in Utah. So when the Parkland shooting took place in Florida, the first thing we did is we asked every principal in the state to review their school and what their protocol is and what are they doing. For example, you know, fire drills. Are you doing them? And if we're doing fire drills, should we be doing something about maybe an active shooter, or if we're doing something, if we had an earthquake, you know, a kidnap issue? There's a lot of different varieties that we need to be practicing and be aware of. And they've reported back to us. We've taken that. We've assimilated it. We've given recommendations out there. We've had a legislative task force, and we've had a task force that has stakeholders from the private sector, the public sector, schools, et cetera. We've come up with a number of recommendations. And we know that one size doesn't fit all. You know, the architecture of an old school is different than the architecture of a new school. How do we retrofit? How do we control access? So we're looking at the physical opportunities. I was out in Tooele here just a week ago and talked to the students out there. But we, more importantly, we talked to the administration and we talked to school counselors. We also saw a demonstration of a local product here from what's called One Door, which allows doors to be put into the walls. You don't see them. You don't notice them. But at the press of a button, within 5 seconds, all of a sudden the school is compartmentalized. You can isolate a shooter. A criminal that's in there. You can isolate the children so they're not in harm's way. It's just one tool of many. Last but not least, and I think we need to start talking about this more openly, and that's root causes. You know, is it the disintegration of the family, the fact we have a lot of families across this country that don't have fathers there? I think that has an impact. We ought to be bold enough and willing enough to talk about these issues and see what are the root causes. The First Lady, my good wife Jeanette, her initiative in Utah is on parenting. Where do you learn the parenting skills? How do you teach your kids right from wrong? How do you teach them good values and make sure that they have good mental health? Now, not everybody comes from an ideal family. I have a lot of broken homes. I believe that every student ought to have an adult outside of their home that they have some confidence in that can help them, a teacher, a coach, you know, a religious leader. But one of my emphasis is going to be on more counseling. We have a shortage of counselors. We didn't even have counselors in elementary school until we put it in the budget here a couple of years ago, and now we have some. But counseling can be not only counseling to have you college and career ready, which is what we think about, but also to ascertain mental health. Is there problems? Have you got some troubles? What can we do to help you? We can get you the help you need. Intercept that. Our Utah Safe app, which is designed to help us alert people, but more importantly, help us with counseling to alert us to a problem and intercept it before it becomes a big problem. We found that the characteristics of those who want to commit suicide, self-harm, have the same traits as those who want to go out and cause harm to others in these shootings. So there's a corollary. There's things we can do, and we will do. We're going to be spending a lot more money, more resources on these kinds of issues. Again, I'll just put in a plug. You know, we have Proposition 1 on the ballot about question number one on the ballot about increasing the gasoline tax. And that's something we ought to all support. We have needs out there in education. We're doing well, but we can do so much better. We needed some additional money. This will make sure that those who use the roads pay for the roads, but we'll stop robbing money out of the general fund that could go into education. So I hope people out there will assess that. It's not a lot of money. It's an adjustment really over inflation over the last 18 years that we have not adjusted the gasoline tax. So it's something we ought to do just as a matter of course. But this money will all be going into education, and that extra $300 million that it'll generate will be put to good work, including having better counseling, better safe conditions, and more prevention so we don't have an incident sometime in the future.
This ties into a question that just came in on our text message board, Governor. This individual, I think it ties into question one and everything that you have just mentioned, but specifically this texter asks, what will the state do to make sure that we hire and keep quality teachers?
Well, we have a teacher shortage. Like I said earlier, we have a shortage in about every discipline out there in the economy, which is the challenge of having a very healthy economy. We are fast growing. We have not only in-migration coupled with our high birth rate, so we're growing very rapidly, but our economy is exploding even more rapidly. So we have more jobs and we have people. What the adjustment will be is more salaries to encourage people to say, here's a good discipline, here's a good profession, and teaching is one of those. And so we are seeing, I just met with the UEA president here just the other day, and they're encouraged that salaries are going up. We'll be able to attract more good people into the teaching profession and not only recruit them there, but retain them. But I think you're going to see a significant increase in salaries. We're seeing a significant increase in salaries across the board, but I think you're going to see a dramatic increase in teacher salaries.
Governor, for those who might not know what question one is, maybe you could just very quickly give us a little thumbnail of what that is all about and where the monies would go, and that will pretty much do it for the show today.
Well, it's a complex issue because it's a gasoline tax increase. The request, it's an opinion really of the public. Would you be willing to support a 10-cent per gallon gasoline tax increase? And our legislature, as part of the compromise with the Our Schools Now, who wanted to increase the income tax, said, look, that's probably going to be harmful to the economy, whereas a gasoline tax, really not so much. And nobody likes to have a tax increase, but this is money that's going to be earmarked for education. So what happens is that those who use the roads more will pay more as the gasoline tax, but we will now quit taking money out of the general fund, which we've always used to augment education. So that means, in essence, $300 million more dollars will be able to go into education over and above what we traditionally do. And that can be put into a lot of areas of need. So I think it's a wise move to make. Clearly, if you want to have continued economic success, the key to that is have a skilled labor force into the future that has the skills that align up with the demands of the marketplace into the future, which is now a global marketplace. So more money and resources in education is a good investment for our future.
Governor, it's always great to have you here on the program. Obviously, it's a show all about being able to chat with you. Let me speak to the governor. Governor, good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome back, Doug.
Oh, it's good to be back. Yeah, I'm trying to remember where all the buttons are here and trying to get my muscle memory back. Governor Gary Herbert with us on Let Me Speak to the Governor. Thank you for being part of the program today.